Okay, there are a lot of correspondences with the seven chakras. With the seven chakras or the number seven?
Yeah.
Okay, the number seven, the seven chakras correspond to the seven electron shells of an atom. Now the atoms, just like us, whether we're high evolved or lowly evolved, it doesn't matter. We have seven potential chakras. They're not all activated. And this is probably the way with the hydrogen atom, using again the law of correspondences. It probably has seven shells, but only one shell is activated. As the atoms evolve and become more dense and obtain more shells, then other shells are activated. So this is the way it is with us. Now, how about our solar system? Where does the number seven play out there? Where are the seven chakras of the solar system?
Seven planets.
Right, we have seven sacred planets. Anyone know what they are? Is the Earth one?
No.
Yeah, you'd think we'd be special, but apparently, according to the esoteric teachings, we aren't quite there yet. We will eventually be a sacred planet, but we aren't there yet. The seven sacred planets, there's an invisible planet called Vulcan, which Vulcan is an interesting one because astronomers thought there was a planet called Vulcan that was in between the orbit of Mercury and the Sun. And the esoteric teachings name a planet called Vulcan that's supposed to be in existence somewhere. But when I've read over the writings carefully, one time D.K. hinted to the aspect that Vulcan veiled the Sun. So it's quite possible Vulcan really just stands for the Sun. And it represents ray one. Now we have the seven rays also.
Who's D.K.?
What's that?
You keep saying D.K. What's that?
Yeah, D.K. is, who doesn't know who D.K. is? Okay, a number of people? Well, maybe we better backtrack and cover that. Some of the teachings most of us close to the keys adhere to most, outside of what we might get intuitively through our own souls, are the teachings from Alice A. Bailey. Now, Alice A. Bailey in the beginning of the 20th century was visited by this unusual man when she was just a teenager. And he told her certain things that she had to prepare for because she was going to be a vessel to present teachings, many teachings that were important for the New Age. And she said, and he told her about reincarnation and stuff, and she said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't even believe any of that stuff, so you've got the wrong person. And he says, no, you'll eventually change, but I just want to give you some seed thoughts to prepare for your mission. And sure enough, once she got a little older, she got interested in theosophy, started studying it, was converted to the idea that there were such things as masters. And then she started receiving communications by mental telepathy. Now most mediums go into unconscious state to receive messages from people from the astral world, disincarnate spirits. This person was named Dwal Kool, and he was a master that is still in a physical body, and he's about 300 years old. And he says he's one of the younger masters. He calls himself one of the messenger boys, a messenger boy for the gods, so to speak. But anyway,
he was still in physical body.
Yes, and he lives in Tibet, and in the mountains of Tibet. And he lives in association with several other masters there that are quite a bit older than him.
Question?
Yeah.
I had a channeling before I came through, and after I had one, and the channeler was she had to stop and relook at it, and she said that for this next period of your life, Dwalkul will be one of your spirit guides. And really? She said...
She named Dwalkul.
Yeah, and she said... So it was fascinating because she said the color of his robe has changed compared to what he normally has. So this is... It's almost like he's a visiting spirit guide for this period in your life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just very interesting too.
Yeah, he's not a spirit, but he's capable of contacting anyone in the spirit.
Wouldn't he be closer to 400 years old now? L.S.A. Bailey said that he was about 300. That was back.
No, she said he was about 250 back then. I believe, yeah.
So he would be closer to 400 years old now.
No, but when he was working with L.S.A. Bailey, I think he was about 250 or so. Yeah, now he's about 300 or so. And he says, now I've come across a lot of people who've channeled all kinds of things, but his writings stand out so much above anything else that I've ever read. And he gave out, L.S.A. Bailey wrote 24 books altogether, and I think somewhere around 18 or so were transmitted by Dwalkul. Now, if you want to get an intellectual witness that she got something from out of this world, read a book that she wrote on her own, and then read a book that he transmitted to her. And they're as different as night and day. Her book is like average intellectual strength, but you read one of Dwalkul's books, and it just floors you. It takes you quite a while to absorb just one paragraph when you start reading them. And anyway, they contain a lot of light and a lot of really fascinating teachings. He teaches a lot about the rays and the chakras, the new age to come. And he teaches quite a bit also about the law of correspondences. He's probably taught more about the law of correspondences than any other esoteric teacher. But he says that he will... speak again in the year, starting the year 2025. So the people that are really into him are kind of looking forward. That's only 10 years away now. When I first started reading his books in the 70s, it was a long way away. But it's not that far away now. I imagine when 2025 comes, there's going to be a dozen people claiming to be speaking for him. So we'll have to read through them all and figure out which one is the real Dwalkul. In between that, there's been all kinds of people channeling him, saying that, well, he just decided to speak early. You know? But you read the channel people that claim to channel him, and they're really mediocre writings. Nothing like the real Dwalkul. But I really believe that I will be able to recognize him when he does speak again. In the same way with somebody like the Christ, you read the writings, the teachings of Christ in the New Testament, they're very profound, you know. And a lot of people claim to be the second coming of Christ. There's a dozen of them on the internet or so. And you read what they've actually written, there's nothing comparable to the words of Jesus in the New Testament. But when the real Christ returns, he will be able to speak words at least as great as he spoke last time, because he will have evolved. He will be a higher state of evolution than when he was there last time. So we're supposed to go forwards, not backwards. There's all kinds of people claim to be somebody famous, but the big problem they have, they can't do the works or create the words that have the power behind them as the famous guy they claim to be. People claim to be George Washington, Napoleon, Shakespeare, Jesus, and yet there's nothing about them that shows that they have the talent of the person they claim to be reincarnated from. And this happens again and again. So when we do see an entity return through reincarnation or what other means, we expect them to be at least as high a quality as they were before. So it's going to be interesting when 2025 comes around to see where DK's teachings happen to surface. So when we mention DK, that's who we mention. That's as far as any teaching that I think is the highest on earth, I think his are the highest on earth. Now, the teachings in Mormonism were good. There's some big, really good basic stuff there. But if you want to go much higher, read his teachings. If you're just getting started, a good set of books to read are the teachings of the Masters of the Far East. They're really easy reading. They got some good esoteric teachings in. What?
The Ascended Master Association has the 21 lessons, which is that. The 21 lessons of the Ascended Master is very introductory into.
Yeah. Now, there's criticisms of the guy. He claims the stories and they're 100% true, yet or he presents them as if they're true, but people that have researched into it feel that they're fictionalized, kind of like my books are fictionalized, except he doesn't say they're fictionalized. So, but the interesting part about the books, there's some really good basic truths in that are easy to understand. It's one of the first sets I give Curtis to read, and he was really thrilled when he started reading those books. So that's a really good set. If you're just getting started and want easy to understand teachings, those will grab you. And then DK, a lot of people get discouraged when they read the LSA Bailey books because they're very hard to read at first. I remember when I first come across them, I just came back from my mission. And I was going to school in Moscow, Idaho, the University of Idaho, and I went down to a used bookstore in Lewiston, and I was looking through the books there, and I don't know why, but the owner of the bookstore came, and he saw I was looking in the kind of the unusual section of the books, like, you know, Bermuda Triangle type stuff and things like that. And he says, here's a book you might be interested in. And he pulled an LSA Bailey book off the shelf, and it was called Occult Meditation. And I looked through it, and I thought, well, this looks pretty heavy-duty. And I looked through the titles of the books that she had written, and I thought, boy, these are fascinating titles. So I bought the book, took it back, and I was a good Mormon at the time. I read about 3 pages, and I thought, wow, this is really heavy. But, you know, it goes against my religion. I'm going to close this book up. I may read it later. And it was about 5 years later before I opened up another LSA Bailey book. But I didn't start with that one. I was in another bookstore, and I come across Treatise on White Magic. And I remembered reading the few pages from that book and being impressed. And I was kind of at a crisis point in my life, so I thought, I'm going to buy this book and read it all the way through to find out if there's anything to it. And so I bought it and I read it all the way through. And by the time I was done reading it, I knew I had to read every single thing that she'd ever written. Read them a number of times, memorized different parts of them. It's very, very heavy duty. I'd equate it with Isaiah and the book of Revelations for quality writing. Yeah.
That's the same order I got it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I read the same 2 books in my early 20s. Letters on Occult Meditation first, Treatise on White Magic, and I just remember reading Treatise on White Magic going, God, there is something here, and I'm not getting it.
Yeah, right. You got to read it a number of times. Yeah, you said you were 23 when you first come across it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about how old I was. I think I was about 23, just or so when I bought my first book,